Hey, what's up? This is Christopher Stolle of Realm of the Mist Entertainment. The podcast you are listening to is part of the SJ Network. Go to s-j-network.com. That's s-j-network.com for more great podcasts and information on those shows, as well as information and ability to contact publicist Steve Joyner for more information. Just go to the website and check out the family. Ladies and gentlemen, until then, enjoy the show.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing. How? Now. Brown. Cow.
What's Henry doing?
He wants to do a solo show on YouTube.
He should listen to John, today's guest. He hosts from podcast to vodcast.
I agree. He's very nice, too. But do you think he has the heart to tell him that he
is talking into a frying pan? That, I don't know. Now if you'll excuse me, I need the salad tongs. I've got an ad to do.
Attention, rebels of the Sure Pollution. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/Sherpa. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And now Mr. Bruce will lead you into the Sherpa Chalet.
As a reminder, the restrooms are located near the yellow snow.
Welcome to Too Many Podcasts, the podcast about podcasts. Now, podcasting from the Sherpa Chalet on Mount Podcastia, he's your host, Jim, the podcast Sherpa.
Hello there, Rebels, and welcome to Too Many Podcasts. It is season 6. Are you kidding me? Get out of the city, as Belky used to say. Hi there, me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa. That same idiot that you've been listening to all this time is back again. Woo! Hi. So,
who's our guest today, Sherpa?
He's a guy with a bit of a video background and animation background, and he hosts a podcast and video podcast, otherwise known as a vodcast, and it's called From Podcast to Vodcast. His name is John, and we had a nice little talk about technical stuff today. You know, he really gave some very solid, easy to follow advice on how to put out a good podcast or a good vodcast. I know a lot of people are doing a lot of live streaming now. I have not gotten to that point yet, but you don't want to see me on a live stream. They'll be like, please, someone get that man to a doctor or something like that. I don't know. But have a listen to my conversation with John from Podcast to Vodcast. Hello there, Rebels. We are in the audio room of the Sherpa Chalet. My guest is John, who's got a podcast who's been going on a little while, and it is called From Podcast to Vodcast. It's really geared toward podcasters, but you do interview all sorts of people. It's not just technical stuff. It's a lot of getting to know, sort of like this show, but right, a little more to the finer points of podcasting, right? How you doing, John?
Good. I'm good. Thank you for having me today. This is awesome.
It's a pleasure to have you. Oh, you know, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself so we kind of get to know your background?
Sure. My name is John. You know, I've been podcasting since February on various different shows. Right now, I'm running 3 different shows. I have a background in graphics and video editing, which is kind of the reason why I decided to make a show about taking your podcast to a vodcast, you know. So I'm kind of good with video, and I wanted to make a vodcast. And when in the early days when I first started, you know, I started going live on social media, and I really loved the platform. So I really put my all into it, and I made my stream and all my vodcast videos pretty like top notch. So I had a lot of people asking me, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? Teach me how to do that. So From Podcast to Vodcast is born, and that's how it came about.
What do you think about like the streaming medium? I mean, as far as podcasts are concerned, you think that it's an enhancement, or do you think after a while it's just going to be overplayed?
I definitely do not think it's going to be overplayed. My motto with From Podcast to Vodcast is that vodcasting is the evolution of podcasting. You know, it's basically the next step of podcasting. If you are a podcaster and you're not vodcasting, you're limiting yourself to the amount of audience that you can grasp. And plus at the same time, it's really a connection with your audience. You know, they get to see you, get to see what you look like, the person behind the voice, you know, and it's just, it's that extra bit of connection that solidifies that subscribe. It solidifies that follow. You know what I mean?
And I guess because we've become such a nation of video hungry people, you know, there's always the video on demand and YouTube and TikTok. They always want to see what is somebody going to do on video? Is it going to be something that's going to be memorable? Or is it going to be something that's going to be the same old thing? So
right, yeah,
it's probably, like you said, it's a struggle, right? You got to keep everything fresh and interesting.
Absolutely. You know, like I have a vodcast that I publish videos to on YouTube, but at the same time, I also have a TikTok, you know, where I do short versions of videos, or, you know, I do some comedy relief, you know, on one of my other shows. And, you know, it's just all these other platforms on social media is just a way for you to gather more followers and bring them to your podcast.
So what do you think is like the biggest mistake when people go to video that it's just not catching fire? You think there are certain glaring errors that on the average, or?
I do. I mean, I don't want to say that it's the lack of quality, because I'm a big proponent of, if you don't have top of the line gear, then use your cell phone. You know, I'm a huge believer in using your cell phone. You want to create a podcast, but you don't have a good microphone, you don't have a boom arm or a Rodecaster Pro, who cares? Use your cell phone. You know, same thing with vodcasting. You know, you can make HD videos on new iPhones, you know, and posted straight to YouTube, and it would look great. But I do still see those vodcasters who the quality of the show is not really there, you know, and it's a little disheartening, because I know that just with a little bit of effort, you know, that, you know, they can bring their show to another level. And, you know, because I think when somebody tunes in to watch, they're looking for that quality. I had heard at one point that your audience can forgive your video, the quality of your video, if your audio is on point. Okay. But they can't forgive the opposite. So, you know, either one or the other has to be on point. And, you know, so really what I tell people to invest in off the beginning is just get a microphone. You know, they're $100, you know, maybe a little cheaper, like the ATR 2100X or even this Rode Pod mic. You know, it's $100. Make sure your audio quality is up to par, and your video won't matter so much, but at least it'll be listenable.
That definitely is an important point, John. And it's funny, because I've gotten into this discussion online with people when they ask about, like, I've been asked, oh, what do you think of my show? You know, I want some feedback. And Some of these people, they sound like, and I say, you know, if you sound like you're talking from a hole, the only people that are going to listen are worms and moles.
Yep. See, like when I first started podcasting, even just podcasting, no video or anything, I set out to have really good quality. I'm like, all right, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. You know? So I went out and I bought an ATR 2100, and that was the end of it, you know? And I bought, and I literally just connected it straight to my laptop at the time and just recorded that way. And now I'm running through a Rode Pod mic, which cost $100, attached to a Rode boom arm and a Rode, Rodecaster Pro. I'm not saying you have to buy the expensive stuff right off the bat, but you can build up to it. But I do suggest buying a good mic right off the bat.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. And I was just going to ask you that about, you know, that really people don't have to go crazy and spend thousands of dollars, because very often when people have podcasts, they do about 2 or 3 episodes and they go, well, I got nothing to talk about.
Right. Yeah.
I wonder how I can get this stuff off on eBay or something like that.
Right. Yeah, that's funny, because, you know, if you're just starting and you don't know whether podcasting is for you, then you know, I really do suggest just buying a mic, you know, and making a couple episodes, see how you sound, see if you like it. And then if you like it and things are taking off, then start upgrading a piece at a time.
Do you hear from a lot of people who say, I don't like the way I sound, I don't like the way
all
I
the time.
Video?
All the time. All the time. You know, and I'm giving them tips, you know, I'm giving tips on how to sound better. I think people need to get over that fear, because a lot of podcasters, when they first start podcasting, you know, yes, they may plan out their first couple of episodes, but when they first go to sit down to actually record, they're kind of awkward and they're kind of, you know, they don't know how to really talk into the microphone or, you know, but all that comes with experience, you know, like you'll get that the more you do it. And the same thing with video, you know, like right now, this isn't a vodcast, right? We're not recording video.
No, we're just on audio.
No, and see, my instinct is to look into my camera so that you know that I'm actually looking at you, you know? So, and this is just instinct that you pick up as you do it, you know? And you'll get, I get a lot of people who are saying that I'm camera shy. I don't know how to talk in front of a camera. It's just, like I said, you just have to get over it. You just have to do it. My first live stream, forget it. I was a nervous wreck, you know, and I was like, I don't know what to talk about. I was a guest on somebody else's show on a live stream, and I was quiet, you know, because I didn't know how to act in front of the camera. You just get used to it, you know, it's just one of those things that you get better at with practice.
What do you think is the best advice you can give somebody for going on camera and being comfortable?
Just do it.
Just do it.
You know, just do it. You know, yeah, just do it. Look into the camera. Don't look off to the side. Because, like, for instance, if I was to look at you, I'd be looking over here, you know, and it's not, there's no connection. You know, there's no connection as far as, you know, conversation wise or audience. But, you know, it's just something you got to do. You got to look into the camera and you just have to do it often and you'll get used to it.
I interviewed I believe it was in my first season, a guy named John Capos. And John is he's a chocolatier in Australia, in Sydney. And it's a very well-known chocolate shop. He's had like prime ministers go in there, movie stars, celebrities and stuff. It's a really interesting interview that I had. And he was using a medium called Periscope.
Yes.
And the way he worked being on camera was phenomenal. He just had this natural ease in that format. People were messaging him and he was addressing every person that was messaging him. And he didn't miss a beat when he was talking about what was going on at his shop. I was like, this guy's a rock star.
Yeah.
I've never seen anybody just, he was like a juggler with doing it with his eyes closed, you know? Yeah.
It's hard, you know, because when I live stream, I use StreamYard. You know, StreamYard, I don't know if you're familiar, but StreamYard shows you the comments of all the platforms that you're streaming to. Mm-hmm. So at the same time, though, I'm running graphics, I'm running video. You know, it's like my show starts with a video intro every episode. So I like to model my shows after a TV show. So you're going to see a video intro in the beginning, you know, you're going to maybe see a little bit of an ad break in the middle and then a video, the video outro. All at the same time on StreamYard, as I'm running the show and I'm trying to like keep up with the conversation, I'm also acting as producer, you know, where I play video or I put banners up on the screen and, you know, I put tickers and logos and stuff promoting other people's podcasts and stuff like that. So it's a lot of work to keep track of, you know, doing live streams.
Sure. And a question just kind of popped into my head while you were saying this. Now, given what you know about video and audio, you know, and how to do it the right way, mm-hmm. I know different podcasters and they seem to have different takes on editing, to edit or not to edit. Some of them just say, well, I just record it and however it comes out, that's what I'm launching. And then me, I'm too picky. I have to, I have to take out every and you know, and
right. Yep. I'm the same way as you. You know, I'll go back and I'll take everything out and I'll take out maybe the little silences and make it sound fluent. But it all depends on your show. You know, it all depends on the kind of show that you want to run. If you think that, you know, the show is good enough the first time around and you don't want to take anything out, then that's up to you. But that's not me.
Yeah. And there are people who can probably just sit in front of a microphone.
Right.
And talk nonstop for 20 minutes and not stammer or...
God bless them. Yep.
You know, like you have like comedians who have shows. They're comfortable just talking. Right. So they probably don't have to think too hard about, you know, should I kick out that last... Oh.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I just did it. But, you know, that's what happens. You know, I guess it's probably the skill of the person doing it. Or lack of skill. And if it is a raw type of show, it's not really going to matter because probably people who are expecting a raw type of show don't want it too polished either. It probably goes the other way.
They don't look for that production value. Right. Yeah.
Right. But I see what you're doing, though. You probably have like special effects and.
Yeah. Well, I like to experiment a lot with different programs as far as streaming and recording my vodcast. Like, for instance, you know, for live streaming, I used to use StreamYard all the time exclusively. But now I've been moving over to OBS. I've been designing my scenes in OBS. And then for a time, I was using a program called vMix, where it allowed me certain things to do during the live show that maybe StreamYard didn't. I could have video backgrounds behind my two cameras. So I could have videos playing behind my cameras. And you know, it's little things like that that really up your production value of the show and really catch the attention of people. You know, like right now, I'm only using a webcam. I'm not using a DSLR. I'm not one of those fancy YouTubers who has top of the line equipment. I teach people how to live stream and I teach people how to vodcast, yet I'm still using just a crappy webcam. So, you know, it's just you use what you got. You know, that's the thing. That's the game. So.
Right. Like we said earlier, just, you know, is it a question of do you really want to sink that kind of money
right.
into doing that if, you know, you're not really... You know, you can't be on the fence about this. You just got to commit to it.
I mean, otherwise, even if you're doing
expensive stuff sitting in a pile.
Right. You know, if you're doing it just as a hobby, but you really love it and you're actually going to do it every week and you're going to, you know, be consistent with your episodes, then yes, I do suggest you invest in getting better equipment. But if you don't know whether you like it or not, then I suggest, like I said before, just get a mic. Just get a mic and see where it takes you.
What kind of video work were you doing before you started doing your podcast?
I did a lot of video editing of videos that I took with my friends just here around the house, you know. But at the same time, it was like I was using top of the line equipment at the time. I'm using Adobe Premiere to edit my video. And then back in the day, I had a Mac, which was like $5,000. And I was like, all right, well, what am I going to do with this? So what I used to do is I used to download clips of movies from YouTube and splice them together and make my own trailer for that movie. I just used to have a lot of fun with it. So I know the programs really well. So when it came to podcasting and then eventually vodcasting, then you know, I was pretty comfortable with it.
So you really kind of trained yourself without really realizing that you trained yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
That's a good way to work things out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm self-taught, you know?
So, I mean, your show's only been on for a relatively short time. What are some of the other topics that you want to get into in the future?
Right now, my solo episodes that I do on the show are basically like tips and tricks on, you know, the best platforms to be on. I did a show. I want to do a show on video editing, and I want to do another show on what it actually means to be a vodcaster, because I noticed that there's a lot of confusion nowadays, what the difference is between, let's say, a vodcaster and a vlogger, or you know, a vodcaster and a live streamer. You know, there are differences. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's one episode that I'm going to touch on maybe next week.
That's interesting when you talk about a live streamer and a vodcaster. But how are they different?
Well, live streaming is basically live. You know, you do it live on social media. There's no editing. There's no publishing later. And that's the difference, is that, you know, vodcasting is recording for a video platform like YouTube or Vimeo, and publishing and editing it and publishing at a later date. So you're sprucing it up, you're adding all the bells and whistles, you know, all your overlays and your logos and all that stuff. And, you know, so, and then editing out all the ums and silences or whatever, and or jokes that you thought went bad, you know, so.
Which are most of mine.
Right. So, you know, so, and then those episodes are released at a later time.
Okay. What about vlogging? Does that kind of fall in between the two of them?
Well, vlogging is more of recording your life like on a daily basis, like a daily vlogger, you know, like a diary kind of. With vodcasting, I would probably define it more as when you sit down to record a podcast, just run a camera and record yourself, because your vodcast episode and your podcast episode should be the same audio, only this one has a video element that people can go and watch. And then plus, you know, later on, maybe you make another series, you know, you can stray off and make something else as far as video and create new playlists and all that. So,
yeah. And I guess probably one of the things when people start getting into vodcasting and doing video is you've got to do something to hold your audience's interest too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and maybe, you know, I think production quality falls into that, you know, because nobody's going to want to watch really somebody who's not interesting. You know what I mean? So, you know, you have interesting guests on, you promote it on social media, say, hey, I'm going to have this person on my show or whatever, you know, but yeah.
I remember watching someone that was doing a video podcast and they wanted feedback. And the set was interesting, you know, like visually it was appealing, but I noticed like the host, he like almost like made a conscious effort not to use his hands. And after a while, it looked kind of awkward. It was like, use your hands. It's okay. You know, people do that when they speak. They were just kind of like, I guess maybe locked into where the mic was and where the camera was. And that was it. And they became like a literal talking head.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think what it might come down to is like camera angles. Okay. Because if your camera is really close to you, you're not going to see much of a background, and you're not going to see much of, you know, from the neck down kind of thing. And, you know, which you wouldn't see the hands. So right now you can see my hands moving. I'm from Brooklyn. I talk with my hands. But yes, you do have to have an interesting stream, you know, not only with the guests, but as far as what you're doing, you know, what people are looking at, you know, like interesting things in your set, you know, somebody can say, hey, I see this in the background. That's pretty cool. Or, you know, just certain things that you do during the stream.
And it was funny, before we even started, I had commented to John, he's got this really cool blue light on all his equipment. And to me, it almost looked like a fake Zoom background, but he said, no, this is actually my studio.
Yeah, this is my actual studio. Yeah.
A lot of these interviews that we see on TV now, people through Zoom or Skype or whatever video they use, I notice that they kind of have a flair to them. You notice that the people are sitting in this interesting room in the house because there are books behind them, or maybe there's a statue in the distance and things that are going to catch people. Do you think that really works? Is it just back to making it interesting so people are going to kind of focus on you? Or just so people are going to look in the background and go, I'm not interested in what this person has to say. Look at that painting.
Yeah. Well, I think that the background has a lot to do with the kind of person you are. Like, I mean, my background has a lot of comic book stuff because comic books were a huge part of my growing up. I'm a huge comic book fan. I'm an artist. I draw comic books, independent books. Stuff like that is interesting for me. And so I think your set should be representative of what you are. You know, a lot of people, a majority of YouTubers I see who do this same exact thing, fill their set with props or tech, maybe some, like I have, I don't know if you can see, but I have a tripod sitting over there in the background, you know, and, you know, so it's like some equipment. I have lighting here and there, but it's just, they try to put relevant things into their set that is congruous with the show that they're running, which is good because, you know, you keep with the theme, you know, and that's always great because people want, if they come to your show and say, hey, you know, John runs a comic book show, but his background has movie posters in it. You know, what's that about? You know, like that doesn't make sense. But, you know, it's just, I think your background has to be interesting. And as far as those people that are on TV, I think that they're just putting something behind them just to make them more professional. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, hey, I'm not sitting on my toilet. I'm not in the bathroom. So it's probably a green screen or something like that, you know?
we'll hope we never get to that point on TV.
Yeah, like, right.
Okay,
yeah.
We've got to change the channel regardless of how interesting this person may sound.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, how many teachers nowadays like fart or, you know, go to the bathroom on their Zoom while they're teaching children?
I think they did a skit on Saturday Night Live once or something like that, where they tried doing the Zoom conference and one person was going in the bathroom. And,
right.
Well, fortunately, in my time of doing interviews, that I have not come across that.
Oh, that's great. So that's great.
I'm knocking wood and just... we'll just pray that trend continues. Yeah. So what are the podcasts and even like the video shows are ones that you like to watch?
Right now, I like to watch buddies of mine because I was there when I first started vodcasting. You know, a lot of these guys first started live streaming, especially like during the beginning of the quarantine. They put on really great shows, you know, like right now I'm following and watching Dads Worldwide. I'm following Jeff Needs Sports because I like sports. I like football. At the same time, other podcasts I'm listening to is like Pod Jerky from the Middle, you know, and I like Bill Burr. Bill Burr's Monday morning podcast.
Would there be any pointers that you would give any of them or?
Oh, well, I talk to a lot of them with the exception of Bill Burr quite often. So I'm constantly telling them, hey, you got to do this. You got to do that. You know, so I'm like, you're killing me. Just do this. You know,
well, as long as you got a hand in it, right? That's
yeah. Yeah.
Please don't make this a painful experience for me. No. Enjoy your show. All right. So we have a portion of the show and we call it Shameless Self-Promotion.
Shameless self-promotion.
And this is where you can let everybody know how they can follow you on social media or if you got a website or whatever you want to promote and let people know when your show's on so they can know when you're on.
Great. I run a podcast or / vodcast called From Podcast to Vodcast. And you can see everything I do on my website, vodsquad.live, where you'll be able to listen to the podcast and you'll be able to watch the vodcast. But at the same time, I started teaching podcasters how to level up their show. Okay, so you can sign up for my course for going live on StreamYard, where I teach you the ins and outs of going live and designing banners and designing graphics and overlays and setting up your social media. So I have courses on my official website, vodsquad.live. You can also follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Pod2Vod. And I drop new episodes every Monday.
On all your favorite podcasting
everywhere. Streaming? I'm literally everywhere.
There is no escaping this man.
No. Every podcasting platform, I'm on YouTube, I'm Facebook, everywhere.
Okay. Since he is everywhere, John, from podcast to vodcast, thanks a lot for coming on down to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Hello there, Rebels. It's me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa, interrupting my own podcast to let you know about another podcast that I've worked on. It's a little mini-series, 5 episodes, called Too Many 80s Songs, and I didn't work on it alone. I got a lot of help with my buddy, Uncle Bruce. You know him better as Mr. Bruce, but it's Uncle Bruce and me, Jim, the podcast Sherpa, with the 5-part podcast called Too Many 80s Songs, and we talk about what else 80s songs. And it's just a lot of unscripted conversation, a lot of silliness, a little trivia, and a lot of music. So please check it out. New episodes debut Monday for 5 weeks through January and February. And you can hear all those songs exclusively on Spotify. That's the only place that's playing the Too Many 80s Songs show. Little hint, if you don't get to hear the songs in their entirety on Spotify, check my social media, Chirpolution, on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook for the link to all the songs that we included and some that we didn't. If you're a big fan of 80s music and you've got a special 80s request or dedication, send it to me. And if we get enough requests, we're going to come back and do a special request and dedication show. Hope you listen. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks so much. Viva La Chirpolution.
Be a rebel. Follow the show at Chirpolution on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And now it's time for Sherpa Suggestions.
So lots of times when I do talk to people, they ask about my podcast. You know, what do you do? How do you do it? And, you know, sometimes my advice might be okay for me, but maybe my advice may not work for everybody. So for this week's Sherpa Suggestions, I found an article on a website called WeEditPodcasts.com, and they actually helped out by listing their top 10 podcasts about podcasting. So we have Podcraft, 5-Minute Mondays, Podcasting Step by Step, Podcast Engineering Show, She Podcasts, The Audacity to Podcast. Audacity is a program you can use with you. Never mind. School of Podcasting, Podcasters Roundtable, The Feed, which is brought to you by Libsyn, which is a podcasting platform, and finally, Better Podcasting. And the funny thing about all of these podcasts is that their artwork is a picture of me with that red line through it. Just saying, no, 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 no. And so season 6 kicks off with an episode about podcasting on the podcast about podcasts. Don't forget to follow me on Sherpolution, Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. I'm there, and you can always catch up with information about the show, what's going on, and I send you some links and a couple other things too. And I more than encourage people to drop me a line, send a post, say I hate your show, I love your show, I can't make up my mind. We, by the way, are back to doing our one day a week. We will be mostly on Wednesdays, as far as I know. If I get too backed up with my interviews, we'll go back to Wednesdays and Fridays. But for now, let's just do Too Many Podcasts on Wednesdays, as we always were. I am definitely caught up on my backlog. Happy about that. So please come back next week and follow me on social media and check out my webpage, Sherpolution.com. Okay, Mr. Bruce, I know we're 6 seasons into it. You know what to do at this point. No, I'm not asking you to juggle. You have to show everybody the door. So hard to get good help these days. Bye, everybody. Viva La Chirpolution.
Thanks for listening to Too Many Podcasts. Please disperse. You can go home now. I said you can go home now. Viva La Chirpolution. Viva La Chirpolution. Yell, come back now, you hear?
Testing. 1, 2, 3. How. Now. Brown. Cow.
Henry, why are you talking into a frying pan?
Because someone is using the meat cleaver. Why else?